Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Of the United States. I'm Vince Collins alongside Mary Waltrip.
And joining us now is Gregory Schneider. He's the Virginia politics reporter at the Washington Post. Gregory, good morning. Welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So a very interesting lesson has been learned in the state of Virginia. The lesson of every vote counts, and if you don't vote, you might regret it. What happened?
Well, you're right. It was kind of a dramatic day. They did a recount in a very close House of Delegates race. The Republican incumbent had won by 10 votes, but all day long they recounted each precinct, and bit by bit the Democratic challenger picked up a vote here and a vote there, and literally at the very end of the day, she edged across the finish line with a one-vote victory that then flipped control of the House of Delegates.
Right. So this was just 10 votes apart. The other recount races that are going on are farther apart. Are you under the impression that any of those are going to flip? There's only a couple more outstanding.
There are two more recounts, one today here in Richmond. That one's not likely to change. They're separated by, I think, about 400 votes. And then there's another one later in the week in Fredericksburg that's closer. They're separated by about 80 votes. That one, though, is headed for federal court because there's a split precinct there and some voters were given the wrong ballots. So the Democrats are suing and asking a judge to throw out the result and call a new election.
But for now, we're left with a 50-50 House of Delegates in the Commonwealth. That's going to create some interesting dynamics for both the incoming governor and for just how the parties accomplish business after 17 years of Republican control there. How do they solve tie-breaking, for instance, in a House of Delegates that gets a 50-50 vote on a piece of legislation?
Well, they have no mechanism for tie-breaking. It's you have to get 51 votes to get something through the House. You know, the Senate has the lieutenant governor to cast a tie-breaking vote, but in the House, they've just got to get 51 votes. So the whole organization of the House is up in the air. They'll be working on that, you know, starting yesterday, and have to reach some kind of power-sharing agreement.
And that means that people who lead various committees, things like that, that's all going to have to be negotiated?
Yeah, from the speaker on down. And, you know, the committees decide what bills get to the floor, and so there's a lot of power at stake there. But they've got to, you know, it's a little bit ironic in this era of sharp partisan divides. The consequence now is that these two parties are thrown together and they've got to figure out a way to make it work.
Which actually may not necessarily be a bad thing, actually finding common ground between two sides. I think that's what most Americans want to see. Most Americans don't like partisan politics. So maybe this could actually be a good thing. You think it'll work out, or are we just going to see gridlock?
Well, I mean, in theory, you're right. And there is a history in Virginia of the parties working together. You know, Ralph Northam, who was just elected governor, is a Democrat, but early in his career was kind of wooed by the Republicans, and he's seen as a very centrist figure who's sort of respected by both Republicans and Democrats. Now, that doesn't satisfy the progressive wave that put all these Democrats in office, but in a practical sense, it might mean that they can find a way to work together.
Is there any piece of legislation or any priorities you think this will lead the House of Delegates to take up that may not have been on the table before?
Well, it's on the table every year, but it's not worked, which is Medicaid expansion. And the new budget that the outgoing governor unveiled just the other day is built around Medicaid expansion. That he's tried that every year, and the Republican-controlled legislature has shot it down. But you got to think now it's going to get through in some form.
Now, Ralph Northam, because the incoming governor, has attracted some attention, and the left is not happy with him about Medicaid expansion. What's his position on this, and why are they upset?
Well, he favors Medicaid expansion, but he's also been talking about the need to reform the system and control costs because, you know, they go up. It's the biggest single portion of Virginia's budget now, and the costs are going up 5 to 7% every year. So in sort of linking the two, at least conversationally, it stirred up a lot of concern among Democrats who think that it's just a priority just across the board to just expand Medicaid.
Right. So rather than forcing it, his position is, I'm going to negotiate with the Republicans, and if we can do that, great, and if not, we'll figure it out.
Well, he wants to expand Medicaid, but yes, he does want to work with Republicans to find a way to make the system more efficient.
And you have the Republicans holding a little bit of an edge in the state Senate. Do you think that holds? Because you've got the Democratic lieutenant governor who can come in and break a tie.
Right. And there are some, speaking on Medicaid in particular, I think there's some senators in there who've been looked favorably on expanding Medicaid. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that they would get a couple of votes and be able to get it through the Senate as well. But yeah, for the time being, there's a 21-19 split in the Senate, and Northam has said he's not going to try to engineer anything different in there by offering, you know, a juicy appointment in his cabinet to some Republican in hopes of altering that balance of power. They tend to work together a little bit more in the Senate than in the House anyway.
Gregory, now that we have some distance between the election and today, what's your postmortem on all of this? Nobody really expected the House of Delegates at all to flip, to include the most earnest Democrats in the state. Yet here we are with a tied House of Delegates. What led to that? Was it all just about the top of the ticket?
Well, there was a strong sentiment among Democrats in Virginia that they wanted to rise up against the Trump administration, basically. They were inflamed by what happened last November, and a historic number of Democratic challengers came out in House of Delegates seats that hadn't seen a Democratic challenger in years, and a lot of those candidates were women. And even going into election night, Governor Terry McAuliffe, who's the biggest cheerleader of them all, didn't think that there was a realistic chance of you know, overcoming the Republican majority in the House. But lo and behold, you know, they did it. It was a wave election that really nobody saw coming.
And so, I mean, so much money nationally was dumped into Virginia in order to make it precisely what you were talking about, that referendum on Donald Trump, trying to energize Democrats, giving them a chance to kind of like punch him from the side on in a state right nearby Washington, D.C., of course. So, you know, does that hold? Do you think that the lessons of Virginia are going to extend to other states going into 2018?
Well, all those states are looking at it. And I've heard from, you know, campaigns here in Virginia who have been getting calls from people in those other states looking ahead to next year, you know, to see if there are lessons that can be learned and taken away from it. So that remains to be seen. It remains to be seen how they put this together into
right.
a coherent government in Virginia.
So the idea is Democrats in Virginia have been sharing notes with Democrats in other states.
Yeah, to some degree, I think campaign staffers in particular have been getting calls from other states. Because in addition to House elections, there are a lot of governor races next year, 36, I think.
Interesting. Well, thank you. Gregory Schneider from The Washington Post, thanks so much for tracking all of this and breaking down the situation right now in the House of Delegates for us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate that. And coming up, we'll have Congresswoman Barbara Comstock from the state of Virginia as well going to be joining us to talk about what's going on with tax reform as the House of Representatives tackles that issue today, sends it off to the president.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.